Well, today we are going to continue in a series that we began actually a couple weeks ago called The Birth of the Church. And the first sermon was about the ascent of Jesus, the ascension. Last week, Pentecost, the descent of the Spirit. And then for the rest of the series, we're going to be looking at some firsts in the early church. The first sermon, the first miracle, the first test, the first leadership challenge, and then the first martyr will be the end, where we'll look at the stoning of Stephen. But today is the first sermon of the church. And just a reminder about the context here. The Holy Spirit has come. They're gathered in the upper room. They're praying. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit as Jesus had instructed them to do. And the Holy Spirit comes and they have an amazing experience. They are enabled by the Spirit to speak in other languages. So for the Feast of Pentecost, Jerusalem was full of Jewish people who had come from all over the world to participate in that feast. And so the people, the early church, they were given the ability to speak and proclaim the good news of the gospel in their particular languages. And the early church, they did not know those languages. They were given the ability to speak in other tongues so that the people could hear it in their own language. And so when that happened, it created this kind of this uproar, and people were kind of going, what in the world is going on? And some people were amazed, but other people were really skeptical about what was going on and even accused them of being drunk. And so this first sermon comes out of the fact that Peter is essentially taking charge, and he stands up in order to explain or to make meaning of what has just happened, what these people have witnessed. And he obviously did a pretty good job, because 3,000 people became believers that day. But, you know, this whole idea of explaining or making meaning is really part of what leadership is all about. That's what leaders are called to do, to help connect the dots, to help explain and make meaning out of what we experience as individuals and as a community. And so that's really what we want to do today. We want to help make meaning out of what we're experiencing as a church. And I want us to do that by asking and answering three questions. Where have we been? What is God doing? And where are we going? So where have we been? What is God doing? And where are we going? So let's begin with, where have we been? You know, when you consider this, it's kind of amazing. We have not gathered for worship since March 8th. That is really almost hard to believe. This church had never missed a Sunday, not one, until then. And so
it's 13 Sundays. Is that right?
Sundays, yes. I think that's right.
After not missing one in 61 years or whatever.
Right. Yes. So we have not been gathering for worships in a long time, and it really seems kind of unreal. But I want to remind us that, you know, obviously as this COVID-19 pandemic began to unfold, we were given very specific direction, both from the governing officials and from our bishop, that we were not to meet. And so we did that. But obviously, the spirit in which we cooperated with those admonitions that were given to us, the spirit was one of a sacrificial nature. And Dean, why don't you talk a little bit about that? Like, what were we thinking when we said, okay, let's stop meeting?
Which, let me just go on record as saying, that was a hard decision, because we take a lot of pride in the fact that we hadn't missed a Sunday in so long.
That's exactly right.
And so it was a decision that we didn't take lightly. And if my memory serves me right, we actually had not been guided or, you know, kind of, the government hadn't given us the order yet to stand down as a gathered community on that first Sunday. We chose to do that in a room that week, just the staff saying, and why did we do that? Especially in light of how painful it was to consider canceling a Sunday public gathering, because we felt like it was the most sacrificial, loving, serving thing to do.
That's right.
For one another and for our neighbors and for our city. That is what helped us to make that decision. That's the only reason we made that decision initially. And yeah, we've continued to cooperate and we've listened to our government all throughout this deal to kind of get their best wisdom and guidance about these public gatherings. Because as we know, in-person public gatherings are one of the most risky things that you can do in terms of the spread of the pandemic. But it's all been done from the beginning with a spirit of self-sacrificial love for the other. And so, and we're probably not done with that. We're going to have to continue to self-sacrifice for one another moving forward. And I encourage all of you who are watching to continue to do that for your brother and sister. But what's been amazing is that I think, as best as we can tell here in Kansas City, like, that's worked. Mm-hmm. That especially, and I think that churches standing down in the way that they have been a huge part of that success.
Definitely.
That are
hugs and handshakes.
That's right. That's right. All those hugs and handshakes that would have happened over these now 13 weeks, we have disciplined ourselves and refrained from doing them for the good of our community and for our city. And so far, it has just been, it's been great. It's been a success in many ways. And I'm really proud of our church, of each of our members and of our city, you know?
Yeah.
But it has come at a cost, you know? It's not been easy. Patrick, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it has come at a great cost, and we want to remember that as well, because, you know, lots of people have sacrificed a great deal in all this. You know, I think about students who didn't get to have graduation ceremonies and all those kinds of things. And you think about businesses that have been shut down and people who have lost jobs and livelihoods. And, you know, even some people, you know, there have been doctors and nurses and so forth that went to New York to serve, to help treat COVID patients who actually got sick and died themselves. So some people have even gave up their lives to help in this situation. And so we do want to remember that sacrifice always comes at a cost. And this has been a really significant cost that kind of many people have had to pay in this situation. And so we want to remember that, and we're grateful that people are willing to do that. And but yes, it does seem like that, at least here in Kansas City, we can say that the sacrifice did help to slow the spread of this disease, and that undoubtedly has saved lives.
Yeah.
So that's where we've been. We haven't been gathering for worship, all to help love the other. So let's go to our second question, which is, what is God doing? You know, what is God doing? I think that's always a good question to be asking ourselves. What is God doing? And not just in the big picture, like around the world, but even it through our days, like, what is God doing? What should I be paying attention to? But I think this is especially an important question to ask when you're in difficult times, because it can be so easy sometimes to just get caught up in the bad things that are going on that we fail to remember that God is always working. He's always redeeming. And so I think we have to almost discipline ourselves to ask those questions. You know, what are the good things that God is bringing out of all this that he's doing? And I think there's a lot of things here that we can talk about. You know, I think just on a simple level, like, you know, we had this amazing prayer gathering, a Zoom prayer gathering on Monday night. Well, Zoom was available to us a year ago, but we wouldn't have used it. It wouldn't have even crossed our minds. But this has forced us to learn some new technologies that I think will be helpful to us as a church as we go forward, and will help us do things like that in a very, with a very quick turnaround that we maybe couldn't have otherwise done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about the number of people that attended that night. We had 117 screens multiplied by the number of people that occupied those screens. And if we were in person, we wouldn't have had a turnout like that.
I don't think so.
And that was all for prayer and worship. So that's yeah. pretty amazing. Clearly a work of the Spirit.
Yeah. I think of the fact, you know, just like family time. That's another good that I think has come out of this. Just seeing families together, going on walks together, the amount of time that families have spent together in all of this. I'm not sure that we're going to see this again. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. So I think that that's another good that maybe God is doing, is that families really have been able to spend time together in ways that they've maybe never done before.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, another thing that I think about is the fact that the church is not a building. Mm-hmm. I think this has not gathering for worship has really forced us to think about what is the church and get back to a more biblical definition of the church, which is that the church is the people of God.
That's right.
You know, we've even had to think about our language. You know, we've referred to the church is closed, and it's like, wait a minute, the church is not closed. The church can't be closed by definition. And, you know, we've learned that, hey, even without gathering on Sundays, we can still do a lot of things. You know, life groups continue to meet, many of them, and some of them are still continuing to meet. We've continued to do student life gatherings. We've learned how to do video much more effectively, like for Sundays, and I'm sure that's going to have an impact on what we do even going forward as a church. You know, there's a lot of things that have been going on. We have a blood drive coming up. We have one, you know, that was a great success. Yeah. So we've been able to do a lot of things as a church, even though we haven't been gathering at the building for worship.
Yeah.
Well, and I just think about the fact that not just Christ Church, but churches all over the country, perhaps all over the world, have better attendance in some cases than they had before. People are visiting that maybe wouldn't have felt comfortable to walk through the doors of the church because of fear or past hurts or you name it. They've been attending services online. And so, you know, as often as I kind of struggle with social media or with technology or whatever, it's like, well, God is using it, and he's using it in really powerful ways to show us what Dean said that first week: the church is not a building.
Go ahead, Dean.
Another way that God, I think, like, what is God doing? I found that God is meeting us in our really difficult emotional places. You know, like, this pandemic has been like pretty difficult for a lot of people emotionally, you know, that we've all experienced like such a wide spectrum of emotions over the last 13 weeks, anxiety and fear and joy and rest and despair. And, you know, it's just been kind of all over the map. And for the most part, I'm hearing people articulate that God is encountering them in those places, and that, and he's meeting them there. And so I continue to pray that God would do that for all of us, but I think he has been during this season.
Absolutely.
That's really brought church into our homes.
Yes.
In a way, maybe not before, you know, it's kind of broken down that barrier of the sacred and secular, and, church just hasn't been this thing that we just do over there and then we check that box and then we go and do our other rest of our lives, you know, without reference to that, what we do over there. No, we've been doing church in our homes. And I think that's maybe had more of an impact on us than we have consciously been thinking about. I also know that the gospel has been going out to the ends of the earth, and all these videos and stuff that churches all over the world are doing. And I think there are going to be a lot of people whose stories are going to be about, I saw this video, I watched this church service. And, you know, of course, we're not going to know that for a while yet down the road, like the kind of impact that it has. But I think it's going to be significant.
Yeah, that's cool.
One of the things I've been noticing too is, as we've necessarily slowed down, I mean, obviously we've slowed down because of a pandemic, because we had to, but the result of that is we have slowed down. Like, our lives are quieter. Even those of us, I was talking to someone in my life group and her life hasn't really changed. She's working just as much, but because for at least a little while, I mean, obviously things have changed recently, but because the world slowed down, because the world got quieter, she was able to as well. And it makes me think about Sabbath. You know, God commanded, it's one of the Ten Commandments. He commanded us to take a day of rest, and it's not for him, it's for us, as a gift to us. But, you know, we don't really live in a Sabbath-oriented world. Our world is very focused on production and kind of my value, my worth, what I do is, that's my value. That's where my identity lies. And what Sabbath teaches us is, no, your identity lies in the fact that you are set apart, that God created you, that he formed you for himself, and he loves you. And I think this kind of slowing down has been an opportunity for many people to realize their true value and worth, which is not in what they produce.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, three questions. We've dealt with two. Where have we been? What is God doing? And we could obviously, what is God doing? We could continue to talk about that for a long, long time. But, you know, where have we been? What is God doing? And then finally, where are we going? Where are we going? Well, it's time to start gathering again. It's time. And we want to ease into it. The doctors we've consulted have really encouraged us that, like the state of Kansas plan to kind of move into gathering again in phases. Don't just think that you should go back to normal the way things were before, but kind of ease into it. So we're going to start with smaller groups that are going to meet during the week. And Dean's going to explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so starting this week on Tuesday, we are beginning what we're calling kind of daily prayer gatherings. There will be four of those in Overland Park and two of those in Mission. Some of them are in the mornings, some of them are in the evenings. And those gatherings will be under several restrictions. So for one, you'll need to sign up ahead of time to attend one of those gatherings. Number two, at least initially, a mask is required to attend one of those meetings. Our chairs will be spread out to provide some distance between us while we're there. We won't be singing together, but we will be praying together, reading scripture together, and receiving communion, communion of one kind, the bread, together at each of those gatherings. So this is an opportunity for us to begin to, as Patrick said, kind of phase back in to gathering together, to worship and to pray together. And so we are very excited about those gatherings, and we kind of have our eye on June 28th, barring some other kind of health spike or health concern, that would be our first Sunday morning public gathering, coming back together on a Sunday.
Bring it, Lord.
Yeah. So again, I talked about it at the beginning of the service, but the link to sign up for one of those daily prayer gatherings is in this email. And we need you to sign up ahead of time to attend those gatherings. And we would love to see you there. We'd love for you to fill up all those gatherings. We'd love to pray and worship together and read scripture in the coming weeks between now and June 28th.
Yes, it's exciting that we get to meet together again. And it's also important. It's important that we start gathering again. And I'd like for us to just think about that, like, a little bit. Why is it important? Why not just not gather again? I mean, we've even heard some people say, you know, well, I kind of like church and on Sunday morning on my couch
and in my PJ.
So why is it important that we start gathering again? Well, one, I think it's important that we start gathering again because we can't be controlled by fear. And so there is a sense in which I think we might say, well, we're just not going to gather again because, you know, we've been gripped by fear. And I think we have to move forward, obviously taking precautions and doing what we can to be safe. But at the same time, we also have to trust God. So I think it's important that we balance those things and we kind of start to move forward, taking small steps, but meeting again. I think another thing that is important about moving forward and starting to gather again is the power of habit. Some of you may not remember that I've talked about that before. It's a book by Charles Duhigg. It's called The Power of Habit, and it's really a fascinating book. I would encourage you to read it. If you like to listen to audiobooks, it's a great audiobook to listen to. Great stories in it. But, you know, the reality is, and I know we're probably not thinking about this, but the reality is we're all forming new habits. This time is forcing us into new ways of doing things. And so we're forming new habits. And one of those habits we are all forming, including me, and Amanda and Dean, is we are all forming the habit of not gathering for worship. And that's not good for us in the long run. So we need to start gathering again so we can be reforming that habit, that very important habit in our lives. And then finally, I think it's important that we start gathering because and develop that habit of gathering again, because the church can't be healthy in the long run without gathering for worship. I mean, a church is a gathered community. Mm-hmm. And even in places where the church has to be underground because of persecution, they still figure out ways to get together secretly because you have to. You have to, in the long run, as a church, to be able to be together. And I think it's very important, you know, as we think about the church, it's important that the church be healthy and vibrant. You know, we look at the last couple of weeks in our city and nation and world, and I think it's become clear, at least more clear to me, that whether it's the race issue or all the other issues that confront us as a nation, the church has really got to be strong and take the lead to address these issues, to address the ills that confront us. And, you know, obviously government has a role, but there's things that we can do as a church, and there's a message that we bring as the church that really no one else can bring. You know, you think about this whole issue of race and reconciliation. You know, I think of Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read this. It's only through Jesus Christ that the two groups can be made one, that true reconciliation can happen. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Mm. So I think it's important. Powerful. Yeah, it is. It's a powerful message, and it's something that it's a perspective, I think, that really only we can bring. That's only right. The church can bring. So the church has got to press on. We've got to be about the work that God has given us to do. And so it's vital that we start gathering again and being the church. Yeah. And
our city and our nation need the church.
Yes.
Like they need Jesus.
Yes.
And so that's our role, you know, is to make that introduction and do his work, you know, and be a part of building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes. So that's where we've been, what God is doing, and where we're going. And I am really excited to start meeting together again.